Welcome back to Baby Trails. It's your boys, Hamid and Shamaki, back here again.
Absolutely, here we are.
Fresh out of Ramadan.
Fresh out of the cage.
Gotta wear the cultural hat, gotta wear the kufiya.
He's just gone
and past.
What's the hat called?
So yeah, I say kufiya.
Kufiya.
Kufi.
I thought I had a more of a special name, to be fair.
What do you call it?
I don't know, just call it the Olde Jama hat.
Olde Jama hat, god damn, bro.
Yeah, I thought maybe I had like a special site.
Well, yeah, Ramadan's come and gone. We recorded a couple of episodes at home from Ramadan.
Yeah.
Now back in the studio looking beautiful. Yeah, podcast rooms.
Switched it up.
Yeah.
Switched it up.
If you new guys haven't, cameras.
Yeah, if you guys haven't.
New action.
Booked your stuff here, you guys are missing out. Sensational place.
Check out the TVs.
Yeah, damn right.
Some new podcast artwork.
Absolutely.
By yours truly.
Absolutely, the man himself.
You'll be seeing that up on the podcast platforms. But yeah, today we're back again talking about a book called Make Time by Jake Knapp and John Zaratsky, How to Focus on What Matters Every Day. So I thought we discussed in our last episode, was it the last episode? We talked about what's stopping you, or the episode before, I think.
The episode before, yeah.
Yeah, what's stopping you? And I thought this would be a very interesting book to just jump. Immediately back onto the back of that that podcast episode. So I already had that book in my library for some time, and I was thinking, let me just run through it and see what it's saying. But I was like, you know what, the man who needs this right now. I always feel like you don't have time to do what you're trying to do.
Now, you know what it is, I feel like it's the way that I've pretty much done it. It's just kind of like not consciously making time for things. What? It's like I'll just look at the time sometimes. I'll be like, okay, I've got enough time to now do this thing. But it's not like actually planning out tomorrow. I've got free time, so at this time, like it's 5, for example, I will do this. Mm-hmm. It hasn't really kind of been that kind of conscious. It's just kind of like whatever comes around. If time comes, like for example, if I have the day off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine, I'll wake up at pretty much wherever, then go about it, etc.
You like say that's been your routine, like, for most of your life?
For a good chunk, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely been there.
Have you ever tried to, like, switch it up?
I remember for a YouTube video, before I lost my hard drive, I did a whole challenge of, like, a week, like, Charles Dickens, sorry.
I was going to say
bro. Whoa, hey, yo, hey,
yeah, identify new animals.
Nah. I got the idea off of the final Drew, where he did a video of like a week of Picasso or something like that. He would wake up anytime, really. He would wake up in the afternoon.
What are you saying right now? Charles Dickens or Picasso?
Charles Dickens.
Where are you right now?
No, what I'm saying is I got the idea from the final Drew, which is a YouTuber. You ever heard of Nathaniel Drew?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So he basically...
You're probably in different names. I'm like...
Nah. So he did a video. So I got the idea off of him where he basically did a week as Picasso. So doing his sleeping routine, all this kind of stuff, right? So then I remember I was doing a bit of writing at the time. So I thought, you know what? Let me do Charles Dickens because that's a bit more... So he would wake up hella, like, I would say hella early.
Dude, Dickens?
Yeah.
Okay.
He would wake up hella early. For the first hour or two, he would like get work done. Then he would eat, then get some more work done. Then he had like a 3-hour walk just to get his mind going. And after his 3-hour walk,
he's a man without a job, huh?
He had his bread. You know what I mean? He didn't have to work at that point. And then he would just come home and chill with the family. Mm-hmm. But that was a proper like regimented kind of schedule thing. Other than that, it just kind of works around work, really, to see what time I've got off and...
So you did that for 1 week?
I did it for a week, yeah.
How did you find that?
Well, I mean, after a while, I realized that it's good to have a routine.
Yeah.
Your body clock is just, it works on routine.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? That's the one thing that I did take from that. Other than that, the 3-hour walk and all that other stuff,
three-hour walk daily.
Yeah, for the first 2 days, it was fine. I mean...
You did it?
Yeah.
You did 3-hour walks?
Yeah, it was like a 1 hour half somewhere, 1 hour and a half back.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I don't really mind walking like that.
You know?
I think it might be the smarty trait. You know what I mean? You can walk village to
trait
village.
Or gene.
Gene, yeah. So, yeah, that was, I think, the... Above than that, really, I haven't really put any, like, fixed schedule on myself. What about you?
I mean, I'm someone who likes lists, organization, structure. sometimes I'm feeling particularly down in life.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what's gonna fix this? Mm. Go on my notes app, write a list. It's what I'm gonna do. This what I'm gonna do. This what I'm gonna do to fix it.
But like, what a list in terms of okay, but not like.
It's a list of like plans.
Yeah.
Like, there's always been like a deep part of my soul that just enjoys like feeling like I've got organization and structure.
Yeah.
And like a plan.
Yeah.
And then I might not ever do that plan, yeah. But for some reason it fulfills something.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
isn't, I don't think it's a good thing.
It scratches an itch.
Scratches a deep itch. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Nah, you know, it's just, I think maybe it's that feeling of just having your stuff in order.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is. Like right now, like I'm planning to like pivot into a different career avenue.
Yeah.
And like, so like literally the other day, I got some news that was, positive, and then I thought, you know, I've got to do right now.
Yeah.
Right, a list. What's the game plan?
Once
this next thing comes through,
yeah.
What's the game plan? So I wrote down a list, and you know what? I went into the workday feeling with a pep in my step.
Felt
good about it. So like for me, like I definitely need a routine. If I don't have a routine, I'm extremely, extremely unproductive. Like,
yeah,
extremely. So. Yeah, for me, like, definitely I need a routine, but that's why I thought, like, reading this book would be interesting, just to get some different insights and ideas on how to find them little pockets of time. Because I know, like, already where I lack. I was going to ask you, where you think you'd lack. Before I read this book, I already know sometimes I get into social media doom scrolls.
Yeah.
YouTube, I'm on YouTube too much,
yeah.
Way too Same. Much. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of even canceling my YouTube premium now.
Goodness.
Because I'm like, if I have adverts there, I might not want to watch the videos as much.
Yeah. That would actually stop it. I mean, once you go YouTube Premium,
yeah,
and you go back, I remember there was like, I was on my brother's account, and every time there's an ad, it's like, oh.
Feels like you stepped back in. Yeah. It feels like you just went to Brixton 90s or something. But, but the thing is, with that, I think that friction... Like, I've always thought of, okay, let me add some friction in my life in terms of finding a barrier to make my bad habits an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And I've always done this kind of thing. So I thought it was interesting. And once I started reading the book, like, it's basically a whole bunch of tactics to help you find time, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, like, it would be interesting to just get that insight.
Mm.
But once I started reading it, like, I was like, I already do a lot of these things, but it's just about doing them consistently.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into the book.
Damn right.
So basically, like I said, it's just a whole bunch of tactics that they've identified to help them like find those pockets of times to tackle for them like the deeper passions in their lives that they keep putting off, which is what a lot of us find, especially people that with creative minds, you have all these different hobbies and passions, and like you keep putting them off and up because you just don't have time, especially if you're working full time. So that's the main purpose of the book. The authors, both of them say, I think they were both product designers at Google.
One of them, I think they were Apple, tech guys,
designers. So they're basically leading on delivering and designing digital products. Yeah. So I think one of them said they were part of the YouTube
initial product design. Like Gmail.
Yeah. Like these are huge products. So like they played like some serious roles in creating something for millions of people to use.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we get into the book further, I asked you, but I skipped over it a bit. What would you say you lack in terms of time management, making up your time, finding time for your passions and things you want to do?
Like I said, I think it's kind of, I think for me, it's not setting a specific time to do a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if I have it in the back of my mind for like, okay, this day I'm off, let me do this thing here. It's not like there isn't anything set. So like, for example, what I mean by that is like, there isn't a time frame for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, for example, when I was doing the Dickens thing for the week, it would be like, okay, at 3 o'clock is when the walk starts. So it's like the work you're doing before that then gets, like, brought down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, then you're kind of looking at time, like, okay, half an hour till this thing happens. Whereas kind of like on the day off, if you don't have a specific time that you put into a place, then it's all just kind of free for all, you know? It's like, okay, I'll just do this thing at this time here. Oh, I've got some time, I'll just do it there. Next thing you know, the day is gone, you know? Whereas on that day, I remember on during those weeks, it was like I was a lot more conscious of the time, therefore I had more time, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So it was like, I was like, okay, cool. It's only like 7 p.m. and I've done this much already. Mm-hmm. That means I've got this much left to do, you know? Rather than just like, oh, wow, it's 8 o'clock. How did it get to 8 o'clock? Because I've just been doing nothing really, mm-hmm. you know?
I've noticed you've been carrying around notebooks a lot more lately.
Yeah, I'm right.
So like, what do you do with them? What's inside them?
That's you know how many? I've got like about 7 different ones. I've got one I'm at work. Because that's when my mind is at its purest bored state. And where I can like come up with all sorts of ideas.
Yeah.
And then I've got another one where I like kind of journal just like the ideas further. Mm-hmm. I 110% prefer journals. If you guys are out there and you've got ideas, it's a lot better to write it down than even to put it on the notes app to write it down. To like, even if you've got an idea and you want to make it into something, mm-hmm. like I've realized whenever I use like a word processor or something, it feels like I'm writing the Declaration of Independence Society. You know? It feels like it's so formatted and so like, you know, and then sometimes I might mess about with the fonts, like even how they were saying in the thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas on a book, it's like when I'm writing it down, mm-hmm. I can then circle certain stuff, highlight it, put it into a different kind of presentation format. I love bullet points. So it's just like, you know what I mean? It's like the notebook is like, here's this freehand just. So when you write it down, you remember.
Would you say you use that to structure your time at all?
Yeah. Actually, I write initially to write down what I want, and then I just put that into a little calendar or like a little app thing that I've got for that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. So I've summarized the book, pretty much what it's about. My overall opinion, you asked me about it on the drive here, I kind of left it off. For me, like, it's interesting because you read a lot of self-help books or productivity books, whatever, and a lot of them have like deep focus on whatever they're speaking about.
Yeah.
And like, this is like the cover itself shows like the main focus is just making time, right?
Making time, yeah.
But I feel like the way they approached it, they've just spat out so many different tactics.
Different things, yeah.
I think it was in the 40s, number 40 or something.
Wait, I think it was like 80.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but they had like almost triple digits of just tactics for different planning tactics, time. Yeah. And a lot of them relate, obviously, but I feel like there was a lack of focus. I feel like they could have condensed a lot of it.
Yeah,
maybe a lot of it was.
Funny enough, actually, I was listening to one of their interviews on it, and and they said that they kind of designed it more so as a cookbook. Where people can just go through different pages and be like, okay, I like this thing here. Let me go.
Yeah,
figure it out like this. Like there was a whole chapter on caffeine, for example, or like time management stuff like that. So that's how they kind of wanted to.
They did say that. To be fair, they said find the tactic that works for you. Like. Yeah. But I also felt like, okay, but how many different tactics are you going to choose in, try out in your life and then see what's like? Because there's a lot. I think obviously you've got to find what you think sounds interesting for your situation. But I felt like a lot of them overlapped anyway. So, and I felt like them saying what works for them was more interesting than them saying, this is another tactic. I felt like it was interesting to hear. Like, because at the end of the day, they talked about themselves. They talked about like why they wrote the book.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, you're a specialist at something. You've done pretty well for yourself.
Yeah.
So there's value in what you're saying, right? Mm. So I feel like they should have doubled down more on like what worked for them, because I feel like they kind of glanced over some kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there was one tactic they said to make a might do list. One of them, I think it was one of them, called Jay-Z. He shortened his name to Jay-Z. He said his preferred method a might do list, and the other guy said there's a burner list.
Yeah.
I thought both of them were interesting tactics. I thought it would have been more interesting to hear a bit more about those concepts and how they've used them and how it's helped them in their life, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, like I said, it's a good book, and I think like having that glossary of options to kind of go through and think about for your time management needs, it was good. And it's funny because like a few days ago, I saw a tweet from someone that's pretty well established in the productivity world. And he was talking about how you shouldn't really like read like all these self-help books like throughout the year. Maybe you should just focus on one or two and then just pick out specific tactics that work for you and just build on them.
Sometimes too much is way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty much what they're saying anyway, but I was like, bloody hell, mate. Are they trying to make like the self-help book that covers all self-help needs and like all kind of habits building? Like, I felt it was a bit too scattergun for me anyway. Yeah. But I did find a lot of value in a lot of them.
So. From the tactics and stuff like that that they put out, what would you say you took from it or like you will take from it?
I think the, for me, what's always been an issue for my time management is taking on too many projects.
Yeah.
Because like we talked about it in the What's Stopping You episode, I said I go from two extremes, one of like not doing anything and then one of doing too many things.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find that balance. So I think having like the back burner push felt interesting to me. Mm. Like the my to-do list didn't make sense to me at all. Yeah. What's the difference between that and a to-do list?
Well, my to-do is just kind of like it just prioritizes what you actually want to get done.
But I feel like people would do that with a to-do list regardless. Yeah. I didn't do that. My to-do list, like, this is the number one priority, and the rest of the stuff that I would want to do anyway. But like they said, the concept of a to-do list is, is in itself counterproductive because you always feel like there's something left to do.
Yeah.
So like might do, just like I guess reframing the terminology. I'm kind of answering my own question a bit there. because at the end of the day, like language is actually very important to the way you think in it. So like sometimes when you like,
if you just put a word in front of something, it can
change the way you think, it up, which is weird. So like for me, the burner approach, like I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I've tried to like over the years in like my work stream, like in my actual day job, I've always tried to find different tactics on how to improve on my productivity. And I think the thing that sticks for me always is having a set list of things that I want to do, and then having a day-to-day, that's like a monthly kind of thing or a long-term kind of thing, and then having a day-to-day list where I like write down things I'm going to do for the day and then I try and take them off day by day.
Yeah.
And then if I don't get some things done, I just push it back to the next day, which is something that they said as well.
Like find Groundhog highlight, Day,
find the highlight and then redo the highlight if it's not done or you can't find a new highlight. So I thought that was interesting. So for me, limiting yourself, basically that's what it is. So the back burner tactic that he said, basically limit yourself to a key highlight, write that down on a paper and then put that as like your the main thing on the paper, on the left side of the paper.
Yeah.
And then on the right side of the paper have one like back burner item, so it's kind of like a stove top, he said, where you have one main burner and the other one's a back burner, so you, every now and then you check the back burner, but you're mainly focusing on cooking on the main burner. So I thought that was interesting to me because I tend to have too many things going on. If it was my thing was a kitchen,
disaster. And taking in new orders at the same time.
Feeding all the customers and all sorts, If I was running a restaurant and it was about my productivity, my word. Gordon Ramsay would be screaming down my line.
Goodness me.
There's no Michelin stars there, but that would be the main thing that I'd say for myself. About for you?
Well, I mean, bloody wrote whole bloody pages on this one. But I think just to kind of just say a bit more about the book, Make Time obviously was written by Jake Knapp and John Zaratsky, but they just kept referring to him as Jay-Z. Which was, like you said, two guys that were pretty much into tech and whatever have you. And they were essentially thinking about how, well, one of them basically always seemed to look like he was a lot more happy and wasn't as swamped as the other. So they were kind of getting into him being like, okay, how does this person make up more time with their busy schedule, etc.? And they kind of came up with like four steps, which was highlight, laser, energize, and reflect. So basically, highlight is where you pick that thing that you want to do. And what I liked as well, they had like sort of some contrasting ideas.
Yeah.
Where one of them was like a morning kind of person and one of them was like an evening kind of person. So picking your highlight, so that thing the next day that you want to do, whether it's in the morning before you get cracking or in the sort of like evening before you get ready for bed. And then the next thing that they said then is the laser, which is basically just getting on straight with that task by creating barriers for like social media and stuff like that. Like, I think that there is a proper big thing as well for me. Even like sometimes when I'm like editing or something, it takes a lot longer if my phone is like next to me, because suddenly like the most random question will pop up into my head, like when was Ronaldo's first appearance for Lisbon or something like that. And for some reason, it feels like it's this itching thing that I have to understand. Yeah. Like I have to know it now.
That's the ADHD, right?
It's ADHD. And and then afterwards, then you go on Google and the next thing you know, now you're on Instagram and then you're, you know. So like creating barriers to kind of get that stuff done, and then energize, obviously, looking after yourself, looking after your body. If you're not feeling well, mm-hmm. then you're not going to be able to get things done. Mm-hmm. And one thing as well that they were talking about was sleep and sleep debt, which, as I was telling Mo, I feel like I owe the bank a hell of money, man. I owe so much sleep debt. It's ridiculous. I reckon I could sleep for a week. Honestly, I mean, I could sleep a whole day easy.
Listen, man, I've seen this guy.
Easily, I could sleep.
I've seen this guy sleep like a logger. I know he ain't joking.
But it's like, when's the debt over? Like, do you just feel like, oh, goodness me?
Bro, I feel like you're just like severely lacking vitamins, bro.
I think that's what it is.
I'm like, you need
I think that's the question I need to have for myself. The true question.
I've told you this before, but yeah. I feel like some people genuinely like.
No, I've tried the. Obviously, Mo's suggested magnesium tablets. They're all right.
Yeah, but how long have you tried it for?
For like a good week.
It's not enough, bro.
It's not enough.
Nah,
goodness me. Well,
you're talking about a physiological change in your body.
You know what? I think it's all placebo, man. I've got to tell myself this is going to help me. And then it's going to help. I feel like right now I'm kind of looking at it, it's like you.
Well, you think there's no vitamins that actually work?
No, it will help. But I was just kind of just looking at it like, the hell are you going to do, bro? Huh?
It's a little tablet, can't you? You got to give things a longer chance to work. But yeah, I mean, I genuinely feel like the sleep thing is very important. So when they talked about that, I was like, okay, like this actually, like it's an overarching philosophy that you have to follow in your life. It can't just be like you just pick some tactics. Like the key points that they made there were very good, like you said, like reflecting, focus, highlights, energize. Like these are key things we actually have to focus on in our lives to just feel good about ourselves and function day to day. So I feel like the sleep one especially, I was like, yeah, he's definitely
the sleep one there. I was listening heavy on that one.
Do you feel like you're lacking sleep right now though?
Huh?
Do you feel like you're lacking sleep? Do you feel like you don't sleep enough?
I don't know. You know what? I know I don't sleep enough. I mean, right now, definitely my pattern's all over the gaff. Yeah. But usually it's like I feel most creative.
In the nighttime?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you that. Do you feel like you're a night person or a morning person?
Definitely night person, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been morning long enough to know what's going on. But nighttime for sure. I mean, like, it's in that like 1, what 2 a.m. That's like
what causes
the brain's
that?
Cooking, man.
Yeah, brain what is causes cooking. That?
I don't know what causes it. I wish I did.
It's like the brain knows. Like, do you feel like it's like it knows it's time to rebel?
Huh?
It's time to rebel.
Yeah. Stay up. Look at this.
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes that's why, like I said, I even have a notepad, a specific one next to my bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if I'm sleeping, my brain's just at it, and then I'm like, oh, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then and yeah, so like it's like around that time for some reason it's like
because for me I've tried so many different things over the years, like I've tried to be like a 5 a.m. person, I've tried to be a 6 a.m. person, I've always like naturally gone back to like just being an evening, like in the evening my creativity hits, like especially after like, nice evening shower or something.
After a shower, I don't know what it's like. I'm a Sims character. It's
like you're, it feels like you're on some kind of euphoria, like, some kind of drug. Like, I don't know what it is. There must be some kind of scientific.
There has to be there for like, sure. After a shower, I don't know why you feel like you could conquer.
Even
like
at work, like sometimes I do find myself like. Funnily enough, you talked about fasting, intermittent fasting. Like in the beginning of Ramadan, I had a pretty solid routine, right? Sleep routine, and I felt like I was more productive when I was fasting than when I wasn't fasting, like in the mornings, I'm talking about specifically. So I feel like I'm gonna keep on trying that, because like for me that in work itself, because the work itself, they talked about having passion for your work, which is always important, right? Like when you don't have a passion for your work, I think naturally you don't feel energized.
You don't want to go in.
Like there's mental block that's saying I don't want to do this. So therefore, like I'm gonna procrastinate and I'm gonna find like some kind of laziness in my head, right? So like for me, somehow, some way, when I'm fasting, like that doesn't exist. I don't know what it is. Up until like 2 p.m. when I really crash. I'm like, yeah. Like my work, I'm working 9 to 5:30, and in Ramadan, that was tough.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Especially being on call and stuff. But I was managing the first 2 weeks, and then once the sleep schedule started to really like change, like the clocks changed, we started breaking our fast later. The sleeping like after before we start fasting again in the early morning, like I would stay up until like 6-7ish, but then I have work at 9.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and some days I wouldn't sleep at all between like after iftar, because we'll eat late.
Yeah,
once the clock started changing, we'll eat late, and then like you just don't feel like you're ready to sleep, because you're full most of the time, and like your body's digesting. Like for me, anyway. So then I wouldn't sleep till like 2-3 a.m. and then by that point I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be up in a couple of hours anyway to pray and bring my start fasting again. And then by 9 a.m. I gotta be up and doing meetings and all this stuff. Like the second week of Ramadan, I crashed disgustingly. Yeah. Like my productivity levels went down, drained massively.
But how are you able to, after the 2 p.m. thing, how are you able to keep going? You just have to firm it.
I would just, like, the funny thing is, like, there was one point they said, flake it till you make it, innit?
Yeah.
So I was flaking bare meetings. Yeah, pushing back as many meetings as I can, because my job's, like, very meeting heavy.
Yeah.
I was just pushing back bare meetings. But then what I'll do is I'll push them all into the next morning. Mm. And so every morning I've just got bare meetings.
Bare meetings,
But I'll be getting the stuff done. So, but then to try and relax a bit in the afternoon time when that crash has happened, I'll just be pushing things back all the time. It's very unsustainable. So, yeah, like once the month ended, I was like,
of course.
Yeah.
I think even the parts, the one thing that I've also realized, especially even when it comes to like even recording a podcast, there's a lot more clarity before you've ate for some reason. You know, there's like, because I remember before when I was first starting it, I'll do it like 2 p.m.s later kind of times, and I'll eat or something beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I like did it one time, the first time in the morning,
yeah,
I was like, okay, I thought I would have had no like thinking, no thought patterns and nothing. But for some reason, you're able to, you know what I mean? Think through it. And I think, and then I watched the vlog of the Diary of a CEO guy, and he was saying that he tries to do it as many podcasts in the morning as possible, before he eats, because then afterwards, you know, all the blood goes to the stomach and like the oxygen levels don't go enough to the brain or something like that, and your thought patterns, your thinking processes, everything like that is a lot less. Which is a very, very good point. And I think the crash part after like lunch, I think that's the most crucial part of like having the right thing to have at that moment of time. And the one thing he was talking about as well that was interesting was the caffeine.
Optimize the caffeination.
The fact of having like poor sleep, if that does come from a lot of caffeine kind of still being in the system.
Yeah, the half-life of caffeine.
Which I think it was like, stays like 5 hours.
I think it's 7 hours.
7 hours, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just the first part, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then having it strategically, so before you start feeling tired, because he was like, if you have it while you're feeling tired, then it's way too late, you know? It's not going to have the same kind of effect. So now it's like moving forward, it's like, okay, fine, to not, because when I always go for coffee when I feel like I'm starting to get tired.
Yeah, yeah.
But the trick is to do it like half an hour before you start feeling like you're about to get tired.
You need to know consistently when you.
That's the thing. So now I think it all kind of falls into like kind of routine. Like if you have that routine, like 12 p.m. is this time to break for lunch, or this time is time to do this, and that time is time to do that, and then you kind of have that regularity to be like, okay, this is when my energy levels are gonna, you know. And he was saying, instead of sometimes maybe having a full coffee, to like have green tea, as that kind of like steadies that altitude, and rather than just having
the level
spikes
of caffeine and the spikes. It's funny because you hear a lot of these, like they talked about like eating whole foods as well.
Yeah,
you hear a lot of these buzzwords nowadays, like the Eddie abuse popularity. Eating whole foods, what do you call it, insulin resistance, glucose absorption, which is all true. Like essentially, like your body like manages your sugar levels differently for whatever you eat.
Yeah.
So if you're and the exercise you're doing as well. Like, so if you're like quite sedentary and you're eating a certain amount, even if you're eating a small amount, you might feel more tired after you eat because even before you eat, you feel like you're starting to flag. You don't have the nutrients in your body.
Yeah.
But then after you eat, you feel like a huge crash.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's because your body's managing sugar very poorly.
Very poorly.
So like distributing that energy around the body, it just needs different things. It needs like whole foods.
Yeah.
Walking a lot more. Apparently, if you walk like after you eat, that's the best way to avoid eating more.
Yeah.
Because your body starts to absorb glucose into your cells a bit more. But enough of the pseudoscience, bro science.
Nah. But so I'll say one thing as well for our aesthetic productivity brethren out there in the world. Obviously it's
and bread rets.
The routine, obviously our job here is to obviously to pass on the knowledge that we've learned from such things like this.
Okay.
So the main thing to kind of, I guess, also take away from the book is whatever it is that you want to do, whatever goal it is that you have, whether it's to write, to make a video, to create a poster, to design, whatever it may be, to pick one thing rather than having a whole bundle of different other things that you want to do. One thing for that day, and then to make sure that you provide yourself that time period, the time frame. So like, let's say if you say 1 to 3 p.m. and then that making that your laser focus mode. So if you're going to, they also talk about having coffee beforehand, like they would have their coffee before they start their project. So let's say you do at 1, you have your coffee at 12:30, you begin. And in that moment to like whatever distractions you have. So like me throwing my phone away now, like sometimes when I'm editing, I literally put it in the whole other room to make sure you snack, but like correctly. That's what he was also talking about, to keep yourself, you know, sustained and energized, because when you start running out of energy, productivity starts to go down, which is what we don't want. And then afterwards to reflect upon what you did, how you did it, how much you were able to get done using, I guess, a different method. So for example, if the caffeine didn't work, maybe try a bit, change your sleeping schedule. If your sleeping schedule helped it a little bit, then to write that down and be like, okay, fine, I was able to be a bit more productive this day because I did it. I changed this thing about my life. And then eventually you get to that sweet spot of finding out different, like they said, recipes in this cookbook that essentially works for you. And you're like, okay, cool. This is my routine now. This is what I'm going to take from it. And then go ahead that way. And because eventually everyone's got the time. That's the funniest part. But it's about making the time.
We all got the same 24 hours.
You know what I mean? But like, it's like kind of like, if you want to make the time, you will make the time, really.
That's interesting what it is. That you say that. So the recipes, cookbooks, and then you think about making time. So you're making time. So
literally making it.
It's a bit poetic.
Absolutely. I did a bit of spoken word in my time, you know. Of course.
Cool. So a few more. So like, let's just discuss some of the things that we found a bit more interesting. I want to ask you, like, what's your phone setup right now in terms of like social media and stuff?
That is a good question. Well, I mean, I remember I didn't have Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, Twitter wasn't really much of a distraction for me anyway.
Yeah, that's never been something for you.
Yeah. So. But the Instagram is still there, and TikTok are there, and YouTube,
you keep
them
on your phone.
I keep them on my phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Mainly just to like share and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then for the like the last 10 of days of like Ramadan, I did take them off.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wasn't really productive then. I was just taking that time as a break.
Okay.
But right now my socials are on my phone, which I feel like I have to find a nice way to kind of go around it, because you also have to put out content, but I also don't want to kind of be on there all the time.
Or you just have them on your iPad?
I could, but it's tough to put stuff out on there.
Yeah.
It always causes problems, and you know what I mean? But like, I think my main issue, I would say probably YouTube.
Yeah?
Yeah, YouTube, man. It gets me all the time, bro.
And the fact that you can... YouTube Premium, man.
YouTube Premium, especially.
Lock your phone. Well, you can
I'm still listening. You know
you can download stuff. Yeah. Listen offline. Like, there's so many like things that just make things too convenient. So they talk about like trying to move the extremely convenient items out of your life and make things a bit more inconvenient again. So that's kind of interesting. But yeah, for me, in terms of like my setup right now, like I'm trying to, like I've deleted, I haven't had TikTok for the last few months. Every now and then I check it.
Yeah.
But I've deleted it for the last few months just because, first of all, I feel like quality of content's kind of dropped a bit. I feel like there's too many ads on there now, like people were like selling stuff. Like I go on something and they're like, you can get 24 kitchen towels
for like
£2 or whatever. I'm like, bro, like why is this on my feed right now? Like I feel like there's a lot more ads now, maybe because they're running out, I don't know if they're running out of money, but trying to pay more creators maybe, so they're trying to do that kind of stuff.
I
do feel like the content quality has dropped a bit. I don't know if it's just me, but like quality of content I see isn't as, every now and then you see some gems, but like on average I'm not seeing like great content on there. So I prefer to spend my time on YouTube where I can kind of curate my content a bit more for myself. So yeah, I'm on YouTube a lot, way too much. Like my screen time is probably YouTube like 80% of it. And the screen time is high, so and every now and then I install Twitter and then I delete it. I still don't delete it, but most of the time I'm using it from the browser. So I don't, so I just have the extra barrier. And if I'm posting like on Instagram, I keep off my phone. If I'm posting something, I'll download it. But most of the time, if I want to check my messages, I just go on the browser on Instagram as well. And like these kind of things have helped me a lot. Like the last couple of months, I've downloaded this app called Opal. And what it does is you can basically block all your distractions for specific apps for a certain amount of time. And even block certain websites automatically.
So you can't go on there until
You can't go on there for a certain amount of time. It's all for free. And like it's convenient enough to like leave the, you can remove the block like really easily, or you can pause it for like 5 minutes, or you can just leave it for the day. Or if you know you're going on holiday, you can set a time, set like a holiday block removal kind of thing. But like that's just helped me a lot, like especially in the daytime, because it automatically turns on like between 9 to 5:30. So like I'm working and every now and then I find myself going on like the one thing a social media app I've never deleted is Snapchat for some reason, because I always have my family on there.
I don't know
I don't even use it that much, but every now and then I just post, like send stuff to my friends or whatever, but I always keep it on there. But yeah, when the Opal app is installed and the block is on, it basically, every time you try and go on these apps, it displays like a card saying, not like, are you sure you want to do this? It's more like random, like, like sometimes it'll be like, you could be doing this instead, or sometimes it'll be like,
just a different message kind of
thing. Sometimes it'd be like you could be saving lives instead of something. Goodness, like just random stuff
just to keep you
like I give you that you basically get questioned every time kind of thing, but it's not like aggressive. Kind of like aesthetic productivity, so like it's kind of soft, soft core. But I used that app. I was gonna talk about that on this. But that's helped me a lot. But I still feel like I have to, I think I should uninstall YouTube. I think I need to uninstall YouTube.
What, off the phone?
Off the phone. I just use it on my iPad or my laptop or whatever, my TV. Because most of the time I'm working from home anyway, which is nice. But I think for me, I'll probably need to uninstall YouTube. And that'll probably cover half my productivity. Like making time, that's probably where a lot of my time goes. Like ideally watching YouTube. Because when I'm eating, I watch YouTube videos. When I'm doing work, I have YouTube videos on the side. So I feel like these are all things that are just idle time wasting. And like for me personally, that's where the biggest black hole is. For you guys, I just think about where it might be for you guys, and then
And setting up barriers. That's the
So that's why I installed the app, that Opal app. There was one point where I added YouTube into the block list. Then on the same day, I was like, nah, man. Remove that.
Straight away. Also, I feel like as well, because you could also use it as an incentive. Because I remember, like I said,
a reward.
Like when I was doing that Charles Dickens thing, like you said, after like 7:30, he would sleep at night. So like for that like hour and a half that he would be with his family, that would just be his like decompressing, defrosting, whatever it is from the day, and then ready to sleep kind of thing. Whereas like for me, I was just like, okay, cool, I won't watch YouTube until then. So then everything in before that, I was just kind of like looking forward to having that guilty free time of like being like, ah, because you know, if you're watching something and you're like, ah, I should really be doing something else instead, it just ruins the whole. But when you're like, I've got nothing else to do now until I have to sleep, so let me just watch a couple YouTube videos or something that I kind of enjoy and then head off to bed, it kind of like incentivizes me beforehand to be like, okay, let me get my stuff done quicker to basically enjoy it.
So let's touch a bit more on sleep hygiene, because I feel like sleep hygiene, for me, I lack on some things, but I know where I lack. But I feel like for you, do you know where you lack with sleep hygiene? Like, do you feel like
sleep hygiene?
Yeah, because like there was one
hygiene or pattern.
Sleep hygiene is like just the things that you do around your sleep schedule
that makes it better for you,
like more hygienic. Like it's not like clean hygiene. It's more like the hygiene of the routine. But like for you, do you feel like you have good sleep hygiene? There's the book that we read by Dr. Peter Attia a few months ago. He's talking about, I think he said, get blackout curtains or blinds. Make sure the room is cool, because like scientifically, people sleep better when the room is cooler. When it's hotter, you actually like wake up more, you have more rest of sleep. There's also like get a good mattress that actually supports your back, and like a pillow that actually supports your back, and find a sleep position that actually feels comfortable. There's like what they said in this book, don't keep electronics in your room at all. Which is interesting. I know everyone struggles with that. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't. And then there's also like the morning check-in, like you wake up, you go on your phone straight away and check what's going on before you even brush your teeth. Like what is it like for you?
I'll tell you, I've got pretty much all the other bad stuff except the morning check-in. But in terms of like blacking out, I have a black curtain. I don't know how far that goes, but the sleep hygiene is shocking, I would say. Because I've got, first it was like, okay, let me not keep my phone before I go into bed, because I'll go on TikTok and stuff like that. So I'll, you know, put it in another plug socket and charge it somewhere else.
And then
I was like, okay, but it'd be nice to like kind of read in bed. So then I brought my iPad in, and it's just like a bigger screen. And then the iPad has also got YouTube as and stuff to read. So then it's just kind of like, that's where I'm at, you know? And it's like, that's the routine. It's just kind of, and now I don't know if it's like something deeper, but I have to have something playing in the background.
Me too.
Like a podcast or something.
Which isn't good at all.
Which is not good. I don't know if it's some sort of trauma or what it is. But yeah, I gotta have there's something as well playing in the background. And every so often I'll hear something quite interesting and it'll like kind of wake me up a bit. You know what I mean? But yeah, sleep hygiene is off the
like, chains.
The only thing I'll say that I do, which I guess would be considered good, is that, like, I've got the yellow thing on the phone. Yeah, the blue light filter. But other than that, it's like,
cool. So we talked about our routines. We talked about some of the points of the book, the key points of the book. Let's talk a bit more about some of the tactics that particularly interested us. I'll start with managing expectations and defaults. So defaults being things that are just default, day by day, you just accept them the way they are.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, I talked about pushing back all these meetings in Ramadan, but what I've also tried to do, which has helped, is shorten meetings. Because automatically, like on Outlook, if you're working in an office-based environment, your meetings get set to like 30 minutes or 30-minute increments straight away.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, sometimes you don't even need 10 minutes to speak. So I try to shorten a lot of my meetings. I also try and set gaps between my meetings as well, just so I can have some breathing time or some time to think before the next meeting. So like for me, like setting that default, okay, this meeting is going to be 15 minutes instead of 30 minutes. And that gives me 15 minutes before the next meeting, or 15 minutes before lunch as well. Because sometimes I have meetings and then I go straight into lunch. So I don't feel totally relaxed at lunch because I'm still thinking about a bit about work and stuff. So sometimes I try and set meetings to end like 15 minutes before I go on lunch, and then I finish like any other like meeting follow up, and then I relax a bit, and then I go into lunch and I feel a bit more relaxed. I come back into work. So like these are the kind of things that for me, I'm trying to reset those kind of defaults, and I'm managing expectations, like just saying no to a lot of things. Like I'm just a lot better at that. So maybe that means that I've distanced myself a bit from friends and family a bit, but it's helped me manage my time a bit better, so I can have time to do the more meaningful things. And then when I can spend some proper time on whatever I've said no to, then I'll happily do that.
Yeah.
But I'll have that. I'll do that without any guilt or pressure from not doing what I was meant to do. You know.
Yeah.
So like these are kind of like really key points that were important for me. Highlights, like just limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. Like if you wanna, because for me, like I said, to do lists are a big thing for me, and then I end up getting burnt out.
Yeah.
So they talked about having a highlight, but also having a time limit. So like, mm-hmm. I already do block out my time for work, but what I tend to do is, okay, I finish this work, I'm excited now.
Yeah, yeah.
So on to the next thing. Yeah. Especially when I finish the work early. Mm. Like rather than that, I should be sometimes just, okay, I finished that work, let me just reflect on what went well.
Yeah.
Instead of jumping straight onto the next project or the next piece of, or the next to-do list item. And that way you protect yourself from burning out.
Yeah.
Because you still have energy to do the next thing if you need to.
Thing, but
you don't need to. Like sometimes, like they said, it's a might do list rather than a to-do list.
Yeah.
So like these were like key important things that I wrote down and I thought were very interesting.
So you're going to implement them, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I've already started implementing these kind of things, but I'm just consciously thinking about them a bit more now about how effective they are, and it actually does help me a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to have to make sure to keep you on your word on that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think because of my office-based work,
yeah.
I have to do some of these things to improve my productivity already. Because like for me, I promise a lot of things to like I don't promise a lot of things, but like in my work environment, my management know that I'm capable of a lot of things, so they put a lot of things on my plate.
Yeah.
So I accept those kind of things, where sometimes I need to reject those kind of things just to say, all right, my plate's kind of full right now. I don't want to be burnt out. Because sometimes what I'll tend to do is I'll take on all these things and then I'll do them, but then I won't do anything. Like I'll then take the next project on, but I'll just long it out because I'm just so tired of it.
Burn out, yeah.
So rather than that, I need to like just maintain my pace and manage my pace a bit, like looking at the Muhammad Ali autobiography. So yeah, those are like key things for me. One thing that was interesting was staying out of infinity pools.
Mm.
So one thing they said was remove the browser app.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I don't use the browser app a lot, but it is a very easy distraction.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I love the ChatGPT.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
The way I abuse that thing with so many questions, but just about everything and anything.
Yeah.
Like if I'm like, oh, tell me about this book and this book's symbolisms and why do they interact and stuff like that. Like everything, and I'm working that ChatGPT.
Yeah, you know,
bot is going through it right now. that thing there, I feel like, but that's also an infinity pool. You know what I mean? I can't get rid of that.
Literally, isn't it?
You know, or the browser. The browser is what leads to stuff like randomly asking crazy questions.
That's what I'm thinking of doing nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But it's like if you keep it away from certain other stuff I've picked up is like keeping my phone away when I'm like, for example, like editing or something, turning off the Wi-Fi, because that's a dangerous one. I don't really need it when I'm editing. And then those are like the two main things, kind of thing. Because sometimes if I don't have my phone, notifications will still come through on my laptop, but it doesn't now because there's no Wi-Fi.
I turn off notifications, period.
Weirdly helps? I put on like this sound thing of like
white noise,
not just white, no fire crackling.
Yeah.
But like the cabin video or like rain or something.
Yeah.
And then that's when I start looking. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It just kind of like,
it creates the atmosphere. That's
it
what
does create an atmosphere.
It's like you make an environment for yourself that you enjoy working in, basically.
Yeah. Those two, the fire one and the rain one.
So do you think you could remove your browser app?
Hmm?
You think you could function by removing your browser app?
Probably not.
I don't know. That one felt a bit extreme to me.
But it's like, I know like
I don't know
how
who...
to kind of go around it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I could fully like get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm not being productive, I damn need that thing.
Yeah. I know, right?
But you were saying something like when those burning questions do come, the way to counterattack it is to like write it down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then you itch that satisfaction of finding out, but later on, and then when later on comes, you don't really care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it is.
A few more interesting things from my perspective. Act like messages are letters. I feel like you do that already.
messengers?
Act like messages.
Oh, messages. Are letters. Yeah.
I feel like you do that, but I feel like you've improved on
a little bit. Yeah.
But I don't know if that's been beneficial to you.
Mm.
Responding, so he said, be slow to respond, reset people's expectations of how quickly you respond.
Yeah.
For me, I respond straight away on almost everything.
Mm.
Like, and that's the thing. People now, I think in the age of instant messaging,
yeah,
people now do expect an instant response. Mm. And people now do almost treat things like it might be an emergency, but they'll still message you rather than call you. Which isn't a good thing, really.
Because
sometimes people genuinely are busy or the notifications are off or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they miss an emergency message, which technically is a paradox in itself.
Like, yeah,
if someone really needs to get a hold of you, they'll give you a call.
Which is a
proper instant communication function. So, like, for me, I want to try and like slow down on responding to messages. Mm. I do that with some people, and then some people I prioritize them a lot.
But
I genuinely, I tend to like really like respond to messages instantly. And that means that I'm always like conscious of my phone.
Yeah.
I've always got my phone in my hand. So I think that's the one tactic that I definitely need to take on and work on before I hand over to you. And other thing, headphone vacations and taking breaks without screens. So like just like doing things without your headphones and doing things without screens,
yeah,
I struggle with that. Like you said, I gotta listen to something all the time before I sleep,
which
isn't good at all.
Yeah.
So I need to wean myself off that somehow, some way. I try every now and then, but struggle to sleep in it. So like I need to find other ways. But then I realize like there's so many other stimulations that are occurring that are causing me to want to continue to be more stimulated.
Yeah.
Like even before I sleep. So like I need to create an environment for my sleep that's actually good and comfortable. I also need to be tired enough to sleep. I feel like a lot of people just don't exercise enough, so their bodies are full of energy, especially when they eat late or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you need to cut off when you're going to eat, the time you're going to eat latest, and then you need to like get into bed at specific times and like have your body clock set and routine set. So like these kind of things, these are like specific tactics that I want to like focus on for me anyway. But yeah, that's
you know what I just find crazy is like when you're like as a teenager, you don't have to even worry about energy levels or none of this kind of stuff.
Post 25 energy levels, oof.
But afterwards, then it's like a game of like, okay, how do you keep the energy levels like in altitude? How does it not fall? How does it not go up? You know what I mean? It's like it's crazy. It's crazy now, like how, and then everything ties into everything, like your what you eat. Then equals whether you have very good productivity rate or not a productivity rate, you know, how you sleep, how you do so many different things. Everyone wants to be more productive, but then there's like so many things that you have to do to be productive. Yeah, that's
the funny thing. It's like,
that's the crazy part.
The term productivity almost feels negative, especially when you think about it from like a tech bro's perspective.
Yeah.
Like it almost feels negative nowadays, but like that's why we're coming in with aesthetic productivity.
I'm right. Like I mean, different things work for different people. Like some people don't have to be up at like 6 a.m. To get things that they need to kind of get done. Like so you could plan it in the evening. Obviously not like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. That's kind of wild, but you could plan in the evening kind of before you go to bed. So then you do know tomorrow when you wake up, this is what you have to get done. Mm-hmm. And then kind of go about it that way and slowly get yourself into the firing line of productivity rather than just straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the main thing is just being healthy. I think like just mentally and physically healthy and spiritually healthy or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But like just having good healthy routines and like ways of eating and like the amount of work you do and what work you do. Like just finding all the best ways of doing this for yourself.
It'll give you all the clarity you need.
Yeah, I think that's where we want to get to, you know, that's what we're preaching here. Paper trails.
But you're also crazy. The blanket of productivity falls into all of that.
Yeah.
It's like having the right foods at the right times. That's also productivity. Mm-hmm. And then it's like sleeping at the right time, not eating 4 hours before you sleep, whatever they say. It's like, that's also, so everything kind of essentially falls into being productive, but it comes with a goal in mind of what is it that you actually want to do.
Yeah.
If you want to create stuff, if you want to write, then you know when you're most creative at a certain point, how do you go about fixing up your lifestyle to make sure that part is, you know?
Mm-hmm. If you want to just chill.
Oh yeah.
Like sometimes, like just, chilling. Like, if you just want to chill consistently, you still need a routine. You still need some health levels, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be watching TV. Or like, there is beauty in going out and seeing nature and trying different, like going out hiking and stuff. Like, people are about that kind of stuff nowadays. Like, it's not just about like making money and like getting a better job and all this. Yeah. Like, if you just want to be comfortable in your life, like, you still need to, some good healthy routines.
You still need good routines.
Yeah. That's pretty much my overall takes. You got anything else to add?
No, I think the main points here was kind of just dissecting between two lanes of what kind of, I guess, stops you being productive and having the time, which is either being too busy or having too many distractions. So then it's just kind of understanding where you kind of lean more towards, and you really understand that by kind of reflecting, actually writing down, being like, if you actually try to have a productive day, writing down all the kind of steps and techniques that you've did, and then kind of looking back and be like, okay, this worked and that didn't work, and then this worked, and then eventually you come to that part there. Because I feel like some people might not have a lot to do, but are way too distracted, or some people do have a lot to do, but sometimes, you know what, it's an interesting thing. It's a little tangent. I kind of wanted to make a video later on, like proper in-depth on it, is of like input and output. So like, I have this kind of theory of with creativity and being burnt out that I kind of realized, which was if you like input too much, so like if you watch too many things, whatever, even though you're not doing anything, you're still going to be creatively burnt out, especially if you're watching it to consume, to like make something, but you're not balancing it out with actually making the thing that you wanted. You're just kind of like, I'm not doing anything with all of this. So you eventually,
it's also like, it links back into the idea of planning and not taking action on your plan.
And then the output, sometimes if you're doing too much output, you're not being able to, you know, kind of relax and stuff and take that input in, then you also burn out that way. You know what I mean? So it's kind of finding that nice little balance in between.
Room to breathe as well.
Damn right. You do need to rest as well. Don't forget that part.
Yes, sir. Cool. So any other ending points?
No, that's pretty much.
Yeah. So that's Make Time by John Zaratsky and Jake Knapp.
Yeah.
I see that off the top of my head. Oof.
Oh, you might have switched them around.
Jake Knapp and John Zaratsky. Yeah, I got it right off the top of my head. Lovely stuff. Seeing my brain still working. Thank you very much for listening. It's been your boys, Mohammed and Shamaki from Paper Trails. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Paper Trails podcast. If you like this episode, please leave a review, comment, like, and subscribe. And be sure to follow us on all our socials.
Keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.